Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic Med Spas located in Pace, Florida. And we're super excited today to have a guest that we met several weeks back when we filmed the reality show on The Blocks. So we have the founder of Manny's Choice here today.
I don't know when this is going to be released, so let me just dive into The Blocks a little bit further because some people are going to know about it, but we have Cindy Anderson. Cindy's the founder. So we met Cindy at The Blocks, and The Blocks is a reality show all about entrepreneurship and businesses where we kind of got to have a lot of fun hearing about each other's businesses, getting coaching from business professionals, different ways that we can really improve our business. But we learned so much from other people as well. And Cindy was one of those people that it was fascinating to hear her story and kind of her business plan. And we did get some of her products to try. We haven't got to try them yet. We just got to them this week. But we're going to talk about it today and also try some of your products. So, Cindy, thank you for taking time to be here with us today. And, yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about your business and how you got to The Blocks, how we met you.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for having me. This is really great. I love kind of your whole theme of your podcast and everything. The Blocks, that was quite the experience. But I would say, you know, kind of my journey, within this company, of course, like most of us, started when we were kids. And, you know, I grew up loving to cook and was always into health and just nutrition, not even knowing it was a nutrition thing, just, you know, wanting to grow my own vegetables even when I was a kid. When I went to school, I went to school for dietetics, nutrition. That whole journey kind of continued. Well, like a lot of us, you know, your life kind of derails. And I actually have worked in construction for over 15 years. So it went completely different than the whole nutrition route. And during that time period, it's about 5 years ago now, when one of my smallest puppy dogs, Manny, who's a rescue, he started getting super sick and having seizures. And the doctors, they were trying all this medicine on him, and he just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Well, I finally got to the point and I was just like, stop everything. I cut all the medicine out, all his food out. I started making everything from scratch. Something clicked in my head and I'm like, this needs to be clean food. It needs to be organic, you know, and he started getting better. He didn't have another seizure for like a year. That was kind of my first aha moment of what am I doing to my body? Right about kind of that whole time period, I was also diagnosed with gluten intolerance, was having major, major arthritic sort of issues, digestive issues, flu-like symptoms even. And so they was diagnosed and was told it's because of the wheat, you know, you're gluten intolerant. Well, also alongside that whole time frame, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Now my whole health and nutrition brain really kicked into high gear. And after watching the dramatic effect of what my dog went through and how he recovered from just clean eating, I was like, okay, I started looking into the gluten-free things and they have so many chemicals in them. This isn't a healthy option. So then the next question in my mind was, well, why could our parents digest wheat and our grandparents, but now we can't? So upon a whole bunch more research, found out that the vast majority of us in the US who have issues can go to Europe and eat everything and be absolutely fine. So I over whole craziness trying to import pure flour, found a couple ways I could, brought it in, and lo and behold, I didn't get sick, gave it to friends and family, they didn't get sick. Through the whole breast cancer time period, you know, there's many times I was like, I can't start this up as a company, it's too much. And it was really the demand of everybody around me who I gave it to try and how it even affected them, that everybody was telling me, no, you have to do this, Cindy, you have to do this. So there launched Manny's Choice, the company, and yeah, the whole reason and desire kind of behind it.
I'm sure it's been like a daunting challenge. So, you know, anybody out there trying to start a business certainly understands the effort and work it takes just to do get the business off the ground, much less to do that at a time that you're dealing with an illness such as breast cancer. So kudos to you for sticking through, because I know that that had to be super challenging to kind of go through all of that. Kind of in your journey to import this, and as you were doing more and more research and looking at the things that were in all the other additives that are in our foods here, what do you think is the reasoning for that? Why do we have so many of these additives in the foods in the U.S. that they don't have in Europe?
There's a number of reasons. I mean, for wheat, and they've also done it for a number of other crops, rice and barley, and I've even heard bananas and stuff. But what initially kind of happened to our wheat was back in the 40s, a scientist at the University of Missouri developed a practice of zapping the seed with cobalt radiation, which changed the whole function of the seed completely. So this was before genetic modification. So if you look at you know, all of the wheat labels and stuff, it doesn't say genetically modified. It's not technically genetically modified because that wasn't even invented yet. So most nutritionists consider this 100,000 times worse than genetic modification. It's literally changing the essence of the seed. With that, they were able to develop what is now a dwarf crop, and it produces about 100 times the fold of the traditional crop. It only grows about 3 to 4 feet tall, where if you go to Europe, it grows 4 to 5 feet tall, but it takes a lot longer. And so they can, you know, produce a lot more with this dwarf wheat. It's also higher resistance to chemicals and to weather. So that's the essence of where it started changing. And, you know, it's not a natural substance that we're putting in our bodies from the beginning. And then we're adding, you know, chemicals that aren't allowed in Europe to keep the pesticides away. The way that we mill our flour, we mill it so fast that it actually burns the kernel, which that alone can increase the natural gluten in it 50 to 500 fold. We've got the seed that's damaged, that's changed. We've got chemicals we put on it. We have the way we're milling it, we're increasing the gluten. We bleach our flour, we bromate our flour, which that's illegal in even China to have bromated flour. And that's a common practice here. There's not really one thing. There's a number of things that we're doing.
So, I mean, I definitely am kind of ignorant about some of these issues, but what does the bromation process do? Does it make it stable longer, taste different?
So it's potassium bromate that they add to the wheat, and it is a carcinogen. It's, you know, not digestible. And like I said, even in China, it's not allowed. I believe that in California now, they have outlawed it. And if anything is imported with it, they have to put it on the label. But most labels, it's not even required. But yeah, it increases the longevity of the wheat and increases the elasticity too. I believe Subway used to use it. I don't know that they still are. It allowed them to create their rolls and stuff in a shorter time period, but give it that same elasticity as if the yeast had risen. And when gluten rises, it kind of creates like an elastic sort of texture. And so the bromation helps with that aspect of it.
And so I'm guessing then throughout your research, most of this is not allowed at all in Europe. And so that probably is why then, because, you know, I remember when you first said this and I first heard your concept on the blocks, I was thinking like, I don't understand how gluten intolerant somewhere wouldn't be gluten intolerant somewhere else. But even like you said, the removal of the kernel and the milling process, so the breaking of that is going to expose your body to that much more of this gluten, even if it had exactly the same amount of gluten in it. If you know, grew everything from the same seed and didn't add anything to it, but you milled it and harvested it in the way that we do here, what I'm understanding is our bodies would be exposed to more of the gluten that was in that. Is that true?
Yep, exactly. That's one of the many things that we're doing to our wheat is exactly that. Yeah. The way that we mill it is usually extremely fast, and that it alone, when it burns the kernel, can increase the natural gluten, you know, like I was saying, 50 to 500 fold. So that's one of the many things that is causing, you know, so gluten intolerance, when people are diagnosed with that, it's really, and it's just a phrase to encapsulate all these things that we're doing to the wheat. It's not just the gluten factor in it. It's just a simple way of saying, oh, this is wheat's making you sick. You know, it's not just the gluten. Yes, that's a factor because we do increase it, you know, to a higher amount, you know, per a unit. But it's all the other things too.
I was reading where it even goes back to the way that it's farmed there is farmed differently than it is here. Would that be the way that they manipulate the seed in the States? Do you think that's what that was talking about?
Yeah, part of it is how they manipulate it, but it's also, you know, in Europe, they have a much more organic farming practice. And so it's rotating the crops. It's getting the nutrients in it naturally. You know, here, you know, if we keep the same crop in the same field, the nutrients are dry, you know? So, I mean, you should see the label of the wheat. I'm going to put the extended nutrition label on the website because it's mind-boggling, like how much B vitamin and just all kinds of nutrients are in this flour that I import versus, you know, like just the basic. I mean, it's so nutrient dense, and that is highly due to their farming practices over there.
Do you think you could get us a copy of the extended label? Is that readily available to you?
Yep, no problem.
Because we can post it on the YouTube for this. So for people listening to us, if they want to go and look at it and actually see what you're talking about, they can go to your website. We'll put a link to that. But also we'll put that on there. So if you guys are listening and want to see all the things that Cindy's talking about, we can post that up on the YouTube channel as well so they can actually see it with a link to your website for more information.
I think it's so common now. I mean, how many times do you hear people talk about having gluten sensitivity? It's like we used to never hear about it as kids. I don't remember it. And now it's so frequent. I mean, we were just talking, not meaning to put Sierra's business out there, but she was just talking about how she bloats, you know, from eating gluten. And so this is a young, healthy girl, and so she's pumped too. She's staying with us, and so we're making brownies tonight.
I think that the range of symptoms, though, that's the other thing that's so interesting with this, talking about gluten, because as you mentioned, as you first started kind of your history, you were having more arthritic type of changes. So I think autoimmune changes, musculoskeletal changes, joint changes, gut changes, like all these things can be impacted by this inflammatory response that people are getting from exposure to gluten if they have some kind of gluten sensitivity.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and a whole nother thing that we do to almost 100% of our wheat in America is we spray it with folic acid, which folic acid is non-digestible, and that actually inhibits your neurotransmitters. So they think that is highly linked to a lot of the kids in the uprise and kids having autism. So I've been doing more research on this recently because I have had a number of customers who have told me that the pasta that I carry that is guaranteed to be 100% European and my wheat and stuff, they change their kids' diets who have autism 100% to my products, and their behaviors have stabilized. And it's not that I have magic, you know, products per se. I just know what my products are and they're pure. And the folic acid is a huge, huge thing affecting behavior, especially with autistic kids and stuff. So yeah, there's so many things. I've had customers who are diabetic who have told me that they have tested their blood sugar before and after, like eating some of the pasta or making bread, and there's almost no fluctuation in their blood sugar at all. Why that is because this wheat, it's so hardy, and like I was saying, nutrient dense and everything, it's going to function more like a complex carbohydrate than a simple sugar. So it's actually good for you. So instead of it being like American wheat it's an inflammatory agent, right? This wheat isn't actually, it de-escalates your inflammation. So the way wheat is intended is it kind of goes through your body and it grabs all the toxins and pulls them through. So it's the opposite of the way that American wheat is. Yeah. So it has effects on all kinds of stuff from, you know, your behavior because of the lack of folic acid, your, you know, arthritic stuff, bloating and serious digestive issues. You know, I had a gal the other day, we had a show, and she was saying how her son who has liver problems, it's the only thing he can digest. I mean, I'm constantly just like blown away by the customers, you know, and what they're telling me, you know, way past what I ever even expected to hear.
But it's got to be really kind of gratifying and, you know, makes you proud as a business owner, right? So, I mean, obviously you want to succeed as a business and an entrepreneur. That's, we all love to measure success, and that's usually by our sales. But I think probably you're a lot like us. It's like the sales can be great, but we really want happy, satisfied customers. And so when you hear back from them that it's changing their lives, and that's more rewarding than any sort of dollars you get from selling the product.
Exactly. As an entrepreneur having a rough day or whatever, and you're, you know, just trucking along and pushing yourself, and then customer sends you, you know, a review like that, and you're just like, okay, this is why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Outside of importing flour, do you have tips for people that do have sensitivity eating in the States?
I do not advise eating the gluten-free items because, like I was saying before, a lot of them do have so many other chemicals in them. And or added fat and just other things to try to make it be like a real product, that I think that we're going to start seeing people getting sick from those products in 4 to 5 years. So I don't advise people to go to the gluten-free products. If you're not like doing my products or something very pure like that, then just avoiding is really the only other healthy option. One other word of warning that I would put out there is, unfortunately, our labels aren't extremely strict. And if you go to most grocery stores, you might see 6 to 10 bags of pasta that say imported from Italy, number one brand in Italy. 99% of all those are going to be made with North American flour.
Yes.
So don't even look at the package and say, oh, it's a product of Italy, and assume that it's going to be made at all with even any European wheat whatsoever. So it's cheaper for them. It might be an Italian-owned company. It might be an Italian-owned company where they sell all those products, same bag, same everything in Europe, and it's made with European wheat. And then when they ship to the US or anywhere outside, they use North American wheat. A lot of them even have plants here. It's grown here. It's like the whole nine yards. It's just simply owned by a European one. I have 4 lines of pasta, and it took me a long time to, I actually had to educate the suppliers and have them go back and make sure. And they're like, no, no, it's Italian. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, no, it says on the bag. I'm like, no, it's not. So that's another word of warning, that, you know, you can't just trust the packaging and the labeling.
Yeah. Again, for our listeners that maybe, you know, thinking about this or saying, where do I find this? So one, we can give them a link to your website. Certainly they can order these products. Is this a lot more costly than getting just flour and these other products from the US? I mean, how's the cost comparison here?
It definitely is more expensive. I mean, one, obviously it's more expensive for them to farm. They're not using all these shortcuts of pesticides and, you know, milling, you know, growing in the same field, so you don't have nutrients and just everything else, you know. So it's more expensive for them. And then of course importing it in the whole nine yards. So it is more expensive. I would say an average bag of like basic flour is probably about $4.99 to $8.99 for like a non-specialty one. So my 5-pound bag is $16.49 on the site. But you can do subscribe and get that as a discount in different ways. So,
and many people though, they'll pay for the healthier options. Again, I'm trying to put it out there. This is I have looked at it, and it's not so cost prohibitive that this can't be, especially for people who are looking for healthier alternatives. Because you know, if they look at their overall health and what they're spending on other things to try to fight these illnesses, especially for people who have a lot of problems, I don't think that the prices are that cost prohibitive. So it's more expensive, but I don't think it's not like $50 a bag. So it's not something that only rich people can afford, right? This is something that can be implemented in most households pretty easily if they're having, especially if they're having any issues that they're needing to really look at what they're ingesting.
Yeah, I've worked really hard to try to keep the price as low as I absolutely can. You know, obviously we have to make a profit, but really that profit is extremely minimal because this is a need I see for other people to have. So it's, to me, it shouldn't be a luxury item, you know, like $50 a bag or something like that. It is a need. I mean, people need this to be healthy. And so, yeah, we try to keep our profit margin and the cost as low as we possibly can.
Yeah. And like I said, I was wanting to bring it up mostly because when I looked at it, I thought it was extremely reasonable. So I also don't grocery shop a lot, so I don't know what to compare it to. Jerry takes care. He takes care of all of that. I'm like, I have no idea what it costs here. So it doesn't look that bad to me.
So do you want to talk really quickly about what products you do have?
Yeah. So we have a 5 pound and a 2 pound bag of flour. We also have yeast, European yeast. And then we have 4 lines of pasta. The pasta and the yeast are not my brand, but they are, I guarantee that they're 100% European. And just FYI, why I say European is like, so our flour is about 90% Italian, but we do utilize a couple fields in France and Germany just to keep the nutritional value where it needs to be based off of the weather and everything that's happening. And the same standards across the board. So even if it's not my label, the pasta that I have thoroughly researched it and it's going to react with you the same way. We just came out with a sourdough starter and a sourdough kit. And then you guys have the brownie mix and the pancake mix. And so, yeah, so that's our big push for this next year. Now that we've kind of proven the concept and the need with the flour and the basic stuff, there's not a lot of people who want to cook everything from scratch, right? So in order for us to be able to get this product out to a lot more people who need it, we the next year we're going to really concentrate on mixes. And so that way people can just grab something quick. You can still be healthy, you know, not have all the bad side effects and everything, and utilize that and cook it up and go. So this next year you'll see a bunch more mixes come down.
That's exciting.
That's exciting. I know you must be proud. We're anxious to try it.
We're starving at this point in the day. So we're like, okay, can we have pancakes and brownies for dinner? Is that acceptable?
We could do breakfast for dinner.
Well, thank you so much. I know that you are super busy, and we can't wait to see what all mixes you have in store. For everyone listening, go on and look on the YouTube site, and we're going to have pictures of these extended labels so you can see for yourself what some of those comparisons are. And there are also links to Manny's Choice so you guys can find an easy way to get these products. So, Cindy, we really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Any final thoughts that you have, anything you want to say before we close out the episode?
My flour and my products have the good gluten in it. So it does have gluten, but it's good for you.
The good gluten. I love that. That stuck with me also from the block. So the good gluten.
Cool. Thank you, guys. This was awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
See you soon.